Blog Talk Radio.
Spotlight show, but today this is a little different. We're not going to be spotlighting the players. We're going to be spotlighting the guys behind the players, the guys that help these players rise up the draft boards and make that money with impressive 40-yard times and impressive vertical jumps at these NFL combines and pro days. So today I have on the line is Rich Sadiff, a.k.a. the Human Crane. If you just go there and just Google this man's name, there are about videos of him deadlifting weight that I don't even want to imagine. So Rich Sadiff is a sports performance instructor at Parisi Speed School in Fairlawn, New Jersey. If you ever heard of Parisi's, you probably haven't been watching much football because these guys are pretty much well-known all over the East Coast and nationwide, and some of the talent they've helped put into the NFL, like the names of Chris Longs, the Patrick Petersons, and Ray Rices. So they've been doing it for years, putting out guys who have been top talents in the NFL. And also, we've got up-and-coming Azizia Allen of VGA Fitness. Like, this young man has been quickly becoming known in the circles of being a really great trainer as far as his footwork skills. If you go and Google Azizia Allen Juice Man TV, this guy has a plethora of videos of showing off his footwork at the DB position. But also, he's been working a lot of with a lot of young guys, getting those guys ready for high school. And he's also known for helping out some celebrities because he's helped out the twins on the latest episodes of The Amazing Race. So, gentlemen, I want to thank you for calling. I appreciate your time.
Great to be
thank
here.
Thank you. So we'll jump in first, and Rich, we'll start with you. When it rolls around December and you get a lot of phone calls of guys saying, hey, I need help, or agents said, I need my client to get with you guys, because I need to get him his 40, you know, I need to get his 40 time down because I think he's his third round pick, and I think we could, with a better 40 time, we could move into a first round pick. You know, what is the conversation like with these agents, and how do you kind of get them to trust in your methods that you can help that that guy who might be a mid round pick move up the ranks?
Well, that's a very good question. Initially, that was there was some trust that had to be built up, but through our experiences with Deion Butler's, Fabian Washington's, Dante Robinson's of the world, there's not much convincing needed just by our past practices and what's happened over the last 10 years. The agents pretty much trust in the ability that we have here to get to 40 times in. The one thing that I really request is 9 weeks of their time, 6 days a week, 2 sessions a day for 9 weeks, and leave the rest up to me.
Okay. And Azizia, being a newcomer, what is it like? Because you're up there, it's almost like you're like an agent as well. You know, you got to hustle to get those guys to be able to work with you and trust that you know your product is just as good as probably if not better than the next person. So being a newcomer to the game, what is it like for you during this season?
It is very hectic, just like Rich and Parisi. You first want to get these guys to trust in you, and me being an up-and-coming guy, like you aforementioned, YouTube and my social media has been a tremendous help getting my name and my abilities out there, so I've been able to acquire a lot of clients that way, and then from there, it's word of mouth and from the guys' performance, so it's been working out pretty well.
All right. Well, next one I want to jump into is these guys walk in there, and what is the first thing, I guess, you guys see in common with most of the guys you work out with the first time? Because there's top athletes in their field. But what is the one thing that you kind of see as a trend that they're missing as soon as they walk through the door? And Rich, we'll start with you again.
Hip flexibility, hip mobility. That's the number one thing I see. I see a lot of athletes are kind of tied up in the hips, tied up in the glutes, the hamstrings. So a big part of what I do is I spend every single day 20 to 25 minutes just on exercises to increase flexibility and mobility in the hip region. That's one thing I see right across the board, even from your first rounders to your free agent types. Everyone is tight in the hips and in the glutes.
And where do you think that's from? Because, you know, with a lot of these guys coming from these big programs, that they have guys like you, you know, who've been there for a while, who know this. So why do you think they come in with that deficiency?
It's all the exercises that we do here are very, very unglamorous. It's all attention to detail. They're exercises that people probably do every single day at every single school, at every single workout. But the key is really in the devil's in the detail. It's the attention to detail. It's holding these non-glamorous exercises, doing them religiously every single day. Most people, they see these exercises, hey, it's just a marching time. Let me get through these so I can get to the lifting, get to the running. But these are probably the most important things that we do here. And I try to convince them, and I do usually after the first week or two, because the response is, boy, my hips have never been so tight. My hamstrings have never been so tight. But after 2 or 3 weeks, it's, boy, my hips are so loose. My hamstrings feel great. I feel so explosive. Just by doing exercises that really are very, very basic.
Okay. Now, Zizio, all I ask you is that we were just talking about your videos, and everybody sees how good your footwork is and how well you move through the ladder and how smooth you just move in your brakes and everything. So I understand that, you know, a lot of guys are going to come look at you, come to see you and say, hey, I need to get my feet like yours. So what do you do to, or do you even tell guys that, listen, man, I'm just, you know, I just have a special ability that you don't have? Or how do you convince, or how do you work with them to improve that footwork? Because you know what, not everybody can do it. It's like, there's only a few people that I've seen with good foot, like Tad. We both know Tad Cornegay, who plays in the CFL, play at Fordham. You know, his footwork is incredible, his foot speed through the ladders and everything. So what do you do to help those guys kind of get that footwork to get it close to yours?
Well, what I do is I first just adjust their body mechanics overall. And I let guys know that you may not be able to perform like me or a guy like Tad per se, but you can get better. There's always room for improvement. So I always get with the guys, and the first thing we do is just go over rhythm, because when you talk about footwork, it's just a lot about rhythm and you being comfortable knowing when to plant off the right or the left foot. So the more comfortable you get, and when you incorporate your breathing, that's just going to enhance your body mechanics overall, and that's going to help you better perform on the field.
And one thing, I think the corner position at the combine tends to be the most watched event, because everybody wants to see the speed, and you get to see really extremely athletic guys run fast and turn all over the place. Being a corner, what is the one thing that you try to tell guys to prepare them for? Because when I watch the combine and they go through positionals, I listen to Deion Sanders, and every time a guy comes up, he's like, oh, his footwork should be like this, or he should be, when he does the W drill, he should be planning like this. And why is there so many schools of thoughts on how to play the DB position? Is there any way you kind of teach a guy where that keeps him safe, where I guess, you know, it's not too bad off one version and it's kind of close to the other version, where, you know, they're prepared for anything?
When I watch the DBs on the combine, I really break them down. And I start to look at their feet and how comfortable and fluid they are. We talked about fluidity. Any guy can practice a drill over and over and become sort of like a robot. But once you watch the combine and the adrenaline gets going, and then all of your technique is kind of out the window, you see which guys are really natural at it, you know, planting off either foot. And along with that, I like to say that I think a lot of people place too much stock in 40-yard dash. Yes, it's important, but specifically at the corner position, I think a lot of guys need to look at that 5'10", 5-speed, because, you know, the NFL has turned into more of a passing league and routes have become more advanced. So corners need to be able to work on their hip flexibility and fluidity, sort of like what Rich said. So I think a lot of guys need to kind of shift the focus a little bit more onto the 5'10", 5 and not be so one-sided with the 40.
All right, everybody, if you're just joining us, this is the NFL Draft Bible exclusive training day edition with Rich Sadiv of Parisi Speed and Azizia Allen of VGA Fitness. Rich, I want to jump in and ask you this. We were told, you just said about the 5'10". That was the one drill I kind of enjoyed doing as opposed to the 3-cone, because I felt that I was able to let my agility shine. That 5'10", 5, what is it's a technique-based drill. But also, it shows a lot about the explosion coming out that, you know, coming out that first turn and everything. So when you're teaching that, what are the kind of tricks that you're teaching guys to help them cut that time down?
Well, there's no tricks. Again, back to what Elijah said, hip mobility, the flexibility. Once you build that up, we basically have, it's like a dance. There's exact mm-hmm. same steps that we use when we train every single athlete. But the key is you have to be flexible. You have to have real mobility in the hips to be able to match your feet to the dance. It's, you know, it's cross touch, 1, 2, 3 to the center line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 touch, 1, 2, 3 and a half to the center. So that the dance is set up. But to be able to do the dance, you have to have the mobility, the flexibility to be able to put your feet into those steps. And right here at the school, we've had the 3 fastest times ever at the NFL Combine.
Wow. Just, and then we'll talk about it because, like, a lot of it is explosion, and that's when, you know, we talk about the explosiveness of the athletes when they talk about the vert and those shot agility drills. Talk about just the leg workouts, and it doesn't – because I always say a lot of it doesn't matter about how much you can squat. It matters how quick you can get off the ground with that weight. So talk about, like, some of the training that goes into as far as developing guys' lower body strength, and let us know, like, you know, is it really, like, if you can squat 600 pounds, is it going to translate to you being a faster guy? Or if you are a guy who might be able to do 450, you know, 20 times and have that endurance, does that work better? So is there any one that you would prefer to have an explosive player, or it just depends on the guy?
Well, let me answer that. The lower body workouts as far as the lifting – you have to be very, very conservative with them because of the amount of running you're doing and the amount of cuts and working on the 5-10-5, the L drill. It's a lot of pressure, again, on the power muscles, the backside muscles. So, again, you have to be very, very careful with the type of lifting you're doing, at least in my experiences. My number one goal is to make sure everyone's healthy. So all the lower body lifts we do, very, very explosive, very, very low rep. Everything is geared to basically turning on your light switch, being able to move as fast as possible with some type of load. I'm not concerned about the load. I'm concerned about how fast you can move your body.
Gotcha. And Isaiah, well, I ask you this question because you do work with a lot of young guys too. How do you work with them with squatting? Because I remember being coming up when I was 16, 17, and I was playing high school football. I refused to squat because I always had this idea that it was going to stunt my growth. So are you getting into, like, squatting and everything with, like, heavyweights with young guys, or you kind of let them build into that way with, like, doing lunges and lightweight and let them grow into that when they get to college?
Yeah, it depends on the body development of the athlete that I'm working with. But overall, I'll say as a whole, I do more functional with my younger guys. I might use air pressure with some of the Kaiser equipment, if you're familiar with that. So I just let these guys kind of build into it, do some lunges and things like that, but it's more lightweight and higher reps with the younger guys. And then obviously when they get older, they can start to stack on the weight a little bit. But just like Rich said, it's more about injury prevention. I've seen a lot of guys, you know, put 700 pounds on a squat rack and then blow it out and then hurt a back or a knee. So you really want to preserve your body because as a professional athlete or a collegiate athlete, you want to focus on longevity.
And we're talking about seeing – do you see the same – and I think I asked you this – do you see the same kind of mechanic problems in the high school kid as the guy that's actually – as a guy preparing to go to the NFL? Is it always – do you see the same kind of, you know, mechanical problems?
Yes, I do. You know, I see some of the same mistakes at every level. But I think that's because when you're at the high school level, the coaches may not have the budget to hire a specialist or same thing at college. You're cycling teams and athletes in and out, but when you get to the pro level, when you can hire a guy such as myself or Rich, then you're able to really focus on each individual athlete, break down their strengths and weaknesses, and come up with a good game plan that's going to effectively help that athlete reach the next level.
And we were talking about injury prevention, and this is one thing I was always interested in because one thing I was watching Keenan Allen, and he was on that show, I think NFL Game Changers, and the thing with him is that he was he hurt his PCL, and he has to do his pro day. He has to get some kind of numbers out there to show that he is still a good athlete and that he's recovering. And, Rich, you have a guy, you know, Adrian Brings, who's like, well, you know, my guy just got hurt. We don't know if he's going to be able to do his pro day or whatever, but we need to get something. What do you tell a guy like that? Because you don't want to rush that guy back, but also you know he has to at least do something that, you know, that the agent can hang his hat on. So what kind of work do you do with a guy who comes in injured?
Well, the first thing I do in that situation, I have a physical therapist here on staff who has an office here inside the building. So the first thing I do is I confer with him. We figure out what the athlete can and can't do. And then we try to basically come up with a program that fits into that athlete's ability. But like you said, the clock is ticking. This is a very unforgiving business.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
You have to get some type of number on the board. But again, if you can't do it, you don't want to, you know, you just want to do something for the sake of doing something. Like if someone's
right.
got a bad shoulder, you're not going to have bench 225 once. You have
exactly.
to work around certain things, and you got to come up with a game plan with the agent and with the athlete.
Okay. That's it. We're talking about, you know, the same thing, and we're talking about injury prevention. When you have somebody, you know, that's, you know, because we come from smaller schools and everything, and that's the problem. That's the one thing that scares me. Like, us smaller school guys, you know, we have a limited amount of time of anybody, and you work with some of those guys coming out of Fordham. What was some of your advice to them during this process? Like, you know, if they guys came in a little nicked up and was like, hey, man, listen, I know we got this. I know you got a smaller shot, but you also got to protect yourself. So what kind of advice have you given guys like that?
Well, the first thing I do is try to establish or continue to grow their confidence, because we have mm-hmm. so many odds stacked against us with the whole school
right.
and not having a big-time agent. You know, the list goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But you establish that confidence in them, and then they're able to believe in themselves, man, because I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of what VGA stands for. It's visualize, grind, actualize. So you first want to visualize yourself being able to accomplish your goal, whether it, you know, be through whatever channel, and then you go through the hard work, you go through your combine prep, and then when you get that shot, you have one shot. As Rich said, it's an unforgiving business, so you got to be ready when that time comes.
All right, everybody, if you're just checking in, this is an NFL Draft Hour exclusive training day special with Rich the Div of Parisi Speed and Isaiah Allen of VGA Fitness. Visualize, grind, actualize. So right now, Rich, we have 16 days, was it 16 or 15 days almost into the draft? 13 days, actually, I'm sorry. So right now, what is the process of the guys now that they're done with all the actual, the numbers game, now it's back to getting back to football. So what do you got? What are you doing with guys now to get them prepared for camp? I'm sure some of the lifting changes, does it go back to the normal, like, college-style heavy lifting, or is there a completely different kind of training you want to do with guys going NFL bound?
Yeah, I have a group that comes in 12 o'clock every day, mostly Jets and Giants, and it's really conditioning. It's a four-day-a-week
mm-hmm.
program, and it's really, again, it's almost like the basics, but it's a heavy, heavy dose of conditioning, a
mm-hmm.
lot of high-speed treadmill, high rep, low weight. Again, the full warm-up, making sure the hips are flexible, the mobility, working on hamstring, glute strength. But it's definitely more on the conditioning side.
Right,
and then lastly, the most important thing is making sure they're at the proper playing weight.
And that's the one thing I kind of experienced during my first offseason was that when I was watching guys, well, even during the season, watching guys lift, because we were – that college lifting – both guys, I just want to get into this. Why is college differing? Lifting has to be so different from the condition in NFL. I mean, if potentially that's where you're looking to be and you're looking to train like a pro athlete, why is the theory so different? Because in college it felt like we were lifting just to get as big and strong as possible. And then when you get to the NFL, it's like, well, you know, even though you're 23, you still have room to grow. It's more about lifting smarter and maintaining what you have and just making sure it can survive through the season. So just talk about, like, why would there be different methods going from college to pro? Rich, we'll start with you.
Well, I think at the college level, you have such a big pool of players. You generalize a lot more. Once you get to the league, everyone has specific needs, and every single position, you have to be a certain speed, a certain size. Where at the college level, it's almost, you got 120, 130 guys. You kind of have a very general program. Everyone's kind of like doing the same. It's almost like, hey, we'll keep these guys in check. We'll have them do this. And it seems like a lot of the lifting they do is steeply based in the Olympic lifting family. And, you know, I have some reservations about that because it's so technical and what have you. But as you can see, once you get to the league, everything changes. It's about, like Isaiah said before, it's preservation, making sure you're fluid, you're flexible, and it's really about maintaining your health and the longevity of your career.
Right.
Where when you're at the college level, you're trying to get there, so I guess you'll do whatever they say.
Exactly. And as Angel, I kind of ask you the same kind of question because you're not too far removed from being in that college lifting program, and now you're working with guys who are professional athletes. What have you taken from the college game or college program, and what else have you implemented into your whole thing to help guys prepare for a longer season?
Well, I'll just say this, that when you come into the college ranks, you have guys who are 17, 18-year-old freshmen, and you want to make them into men because they're going to be going up against a 25, 23-year-old, 260-pound guy on a daily basis at practice and in the game. So you want to have a lifting program that's going to accelerate their growth. But with that, I've learned that with bigger schools and bigger budgets, they're able to hire more people, and you can really focus more specifically on what guys need. Like Rich said, when you get to the league, it's very different. It's more specific. So I've noticed in cases, let's say like Coastal Carolina, they recently put out an ad for speed specialists. But you go to Fordham, they don't have that. There's one, there's two, maybe
right.
three strength guys, and then there's a plethora of teams, and you just kind of have to use what you have in the space that you have. Because, in New York, at Fordham, we're right there under the bleachers, under the stadium, and
mm-hmm.
we kind of make the best of what we can. And it's a tribute to small schools and small staff like that when they can churn out guys to the next level.
All right. And this is one thing I've always been interested in, because this is the kind of conversation I had before with Brian Martin at Test Sports Clubs over in New Jersey. We were talking with the whole new, and this is going to get more of the business and technical part of it, dealing with the whole new rookie wage scale, and there's a limited amount they can make. There was some thought that it might hurt the training, the combine prep industry, because that getting your guy from a 25 to a top 15, the money is not going to be as big anymore. Because remember, like somebody like Sam Bradford got something like $60 million guaranteed. Now guys are getting smaller guaranteed money, smaller paychecks that the agents might not think is that necessary to get a guy to move from a 20 to a 15 or a 15 to a 10 because it doesn't make a difference in his pockets. So what are your kind of responses to that theory, and is there any truth to that? Isaiah, we'll start with you.
Well, with the new rookie wage scale, on the contract side of it, guys are not making as much guaranteed, but if you have a capable agent or a representation team, you're able to get that money that you quote-unquote lost through endorsements or other business ventures. So this, it's not really as bad as some people make it seem, but if you know the ins and outs of the sports business and the business of sports, then you know that you're able to make up that lost income in other areas.
And, Rich, I'll ask you the same question because, you deal with a lot of guys, and you dealt with some guys who went from number one and one, top 10 and top five picks on the way down. So do you what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the one change I've seen is the training's become almost regionalized where, in the past, agents would have no problem housing people, close to this facility in Fairlawn and having them train here. Now what they're trying to
mm-hmm.
do is find, hey, if I'm from North Carolina, instead of having someone come to New Jersey to train, I'll have them stay at home and train in North Carolina.
Oh, gotcha. Because I speak to a lot of guys, and when I've been interviewing a lot of guys this season on our Spotlight show, a lot of guys have, they've been just on campus. And then they say, I just went to the track coach, went to the weight room. And I was like, because I guess I enjoyed that time. Even though I was still at school, I kind of enjoyed that whole process of being with guys that didn't know, and you building a bond with guys from all over the place that are going through the same struggle, as opposed to being at school where I think there's, unless you go to a bigger school like Ohio State where you have maybe like 15 guys or going to a pro day with all the scouts there, it feels kind of like you're just on your own. So, personally, to me, I would just say I miss that whole camaraderie of meeting guys that you didn't know and you guys all push each other through the whole process. As we start to wrap up here, because I know both you guys got places to be, people to work with, let's talk about, Rich, we'll talk about some of the guys you work with now. And we've interviewed, I want to shout out my man Lloyd Morrison, Fordham, future Fordham alumni. But you know, what are some of the guys that you've been working with that came into the program this year and that might have been maybe late round picks and that you think has helped their draft stock over the past couple of months working at Parisi's?
Probably the biggest two would be Mike Catapiano from Princeton. You know, coming into the draft, you know, Mike's an unbelievable athlete. He was probably, I would think, a free agent, preferred free agent type of pick. So after his pro day, they're looking at him anywhere from the fifth to the sixth round. So it definitely helped him out a lot. And I do get a lot of, guys who do go to the combine. And they train at other facilities in like warm weather places. And if they don't do good at the combine, their agent will bring them up here for me to work with them for their pro day. And I had one such athlete. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't want to. But he ran a very two real good 40s at his pro day. He should probably go in the he probably increased his draft level from the third round to the second round.
Gotcha. And Isaiah, you know, before we get you out of here, I need you to talk about also what you're doing now, being a football player, that you've made that conversion of going to try to be a part of the, U.S. rugby team. So talk to us about some of the training you're doing for rugby and how similar is it to football, or is it a completely different animal than football?
Yes, let me first say that we don't know rugby is going to be in the 2016 Olympics in Rio, Brazil. But along with that, the style of play is 7-on-7. So I had to change my whole body. I dropped about 15 pounds. I'm down to about 185 to 190, and I'm moving much faster and much quicker. And, you know, that's a tribute to having no pads. But along with that, the angles of the game, the subtle nuances, just even how to pass the ball is very humbling to learn that. But along with that brings the excitement of, you know, just being an athlete and going out there and competing once again and now having a bigger goal of representing our entire country at the Olympic Games in 3 years.
Now, what's been the process like so far? Are you guys still have you had any practice matches, or this is still just a boot camp you're going through?
I just spent the last month in Ohio at a rugby academy, so three times a day I was working out, just lifting, going to practices, and doing all types of training out there. But I had two friendly matches, so they call those friendlies when it doesn't really count for anything. I was fortunate enough to get out there, score a couple times, and just learn the game a little bit more. So right now I'm in the process of finding a home for the summer circuit and being able to just further establish my name in the rugby world.
Now, is this the same league that I heard that Maurice Claret was joining?
Yes, it is. I actually got a chance to meet him, team up with him, train together for the whole month when I was out there in Ohio. He's also doing the Olympic dream as well, and I would like to say that Maurice is looking pretty good, so hats off to him, and I'm looking forward to working with him, or if not, playing against him.
All right, everybody. Again, this has been an NFL Dropout exclusive training day special with Rich Zivdiv, the human crane out of Parisi Speed School, and also Isaiah Allen out of VGA Fitness. Right, we're getting ready to wrap up soon. So the one last question I want to ask you guys, and Rich, we'll start with you. What is the biggest misconception that that agents think you can do for them when they bring their client? Like, because I'm pretty sure there's some agents who bring you a guy who is just a complete, just like, and nothing against any athlete, just a complete mess, just doesn't have the ability to do it. And they're like, all right, I need this guy to move him out. And so what is kind of the biggest misconceptions that they think you can do with an athlete once they bring them to you?
I would say the biggest misconception, not just with agents, but people in general, it really is the speed of the 40, because the 40 is almost becoming like Bigfoot. People think they see it,
right,
but they don't really know what they're saying. so many variables with the 40, you know, hand time, laser time, inside, outside, turf, field turf, track. So, you know, a real 4.4, 4.3, people throw those numbers around. There's really not that many guys out there who can drop a real 4.3 or 4.4.
Right. And I would
take the 40-yard dash.
Okay, and I asked you the same question, and the reason I'm kind of chuckling because I see all the videos you post up and shout out all the young guys, female basketball players, young football players, and even all the guys that you've been working with and everything. And I can imagine you working with so many of those damn those football dads are like, hey, my son is the next first round draft pick. You got to make him do this. So like, you know, what is the biggest misconception? You know that you know when you get kids and get professional athletes and everything that they think is going to happen when they come work with you.
The biggest misconception is that I can change who they are as a person. So, again, I talk about the V in VGA, visualize. I have to change your work ethic and your mindset. In order to do that, my saying is, I'm going to build you up. But first, son, I got to break you down. So I have to tell them how it is and keep it real with them and let them know the realities and the adversities they'll face moving forward. And then from there, it's up to them. Will they put in work? If not, then hopefully they will, and we just get the ball rolling.
Gotcha. And just a quick little touch on that, because you said you really can't change that. You have to work with that person's work ethic. I think that's something we really didn't get a chance to touch on. How hard is it because I remember training. There were some guys who just wanted it, and there were some guys who were just going through the motions. What do you do to get that, to flip that switch? Or just some guys, if you're not just wired that way, it's just not going to happen.
Well, the easiest way for me would be through personal experience, but like we touched on in, earlier in the show, I'm from a small school, so guys kind of say, hey, man, I went to this school. You're just a Fordham guy. And then, you know, sometimes they have to learn the hard way. But what I try to do is share through personal experience, or if not, I'll bring in a guy who I know that might be in the NFL, give him a quick phone call or text, and just try to act as a mentor towards them. So even though I'm a small school guy, I have access to those big school guys and those quote-unquote big names to try to help my young guys along.
And, Rich, I guess I'll ask you the same question, too. It's like I know you'll have some guys that come up there, you know, and fill their, you know, mid-round first-round pick or something. Sometimes the guys don't have that. They're just going through because, you know, that's what they're supposed to do. So what do you do working with a guy like that to kind of switch his motor to become, so like, to go in there and just give everything he has in a workout?
Well, two things. I always have a personal story or a story that happened somewhere in history that helps flip that switch. But one of my big lines is the greatest curse of being great is being very good.
Okay.
And I always have them dwell on that.
Gotcha. Well, everybody, I want to thank you for joining us today on this special edition of the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight. Well, we'll say Training Day Special. Rich and Isaiah, I want to thank both you guys for calling in and joining us. I hope everybody has been enlightened and engaged by this conversation we had. And, Isaiah, I'll start with you first. This is the time to promote VJ Fitness and everything, so I'll give everybody a Twitter name, Instagram, whatever, anywhere they can start following you and just hear more about who you are and get more information about VJ Fitness.
First, I would like to thank you, Aki, and NFL Draft Bible. Everybody, you can find me on Twitter at Isaiah Allen. That is Isiejah Allen, Allen, and at VGA Fitness.
And Rich, same thing. I know you want to promote the human crane in the videos because I don't even know how old you are. But even at my best, I wouldn't even try to deadlift what you work with. So, Rich, it's your time to go out there and promote Parisi Speeding yourself.
Yeah, well, I've been 35 for the last 14 years. the spelling of the last name is Sadiv, S-A, D as in David, I-V as in Victor, and my Twitter handle is Sadiv Human Crane. You could find me also at Parisi Speed School over here in Fairlawn, New Jersey. It's a great facility. We have a six-lane Mondo track, huge turf facility with a great weight room. So anytime anyone wants to stop down to Fairlawn, great place to train, and if you're looking to get into the league, look me up. It's been a great time, and I appreciate you having me.
No problem, Jimmy. Thank you for calling. And everybody, I want to thank you for listening to the NFL Draft Bible. Always make sure you check us out at NFLDraftBible.com, where we have the 2013 perspective and also the 2014 perspective to get the scoop on the guys coming out next year. And also, you can check out all our past interviews on allaccessfootball.com. I want to thank you again. Everybody, keep checking us out for all the names you need to know first for this upcoming NFL draft. Peace.
Thank you.